What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Born to Talk. Today I'm joined by three of my closest friends. These are people I've known for a few years now, people I got absolutely wankered with on my stag do, and people that we've just had a great laugh with. I've seen these guys coming through for a couple of years now, and this podcast has been a while coming. Unfortunately, I'm incredibly useless, so I apologise for that. But I hope you guys are going to enjoy this one. I think you will. It's going to be a really, really special one. So today, I'm happy to introduce to you the people that I consider family. We've got Alex, we've got Ben, and we've got Johnny here, and we've got the lovely Nicolas Cage on this pillow.
Hi guys.
So, guys, do you want to introduce yourself? Say who you are, what you do?
Hey, how you doing? I'm Johnny. I play guitar and sing in Brixton Alley.
I'm Alex, I play drums, and I'm not allowed to sing in Brixton Alley.
I'm Ben, and I play bass and sing in Brixton Alley.
Sick. So we're currently sat here in what we can only describe as like a fucking awesome home recording studio type deal. Do you want to talk us through this? This place is lit. So do you want to talk us through this, like why you decided to do it, the process of it? I remember seeing the photos from it, and it was so sick. So cool.
Yeah, well, it was just in Jen's garden for ages. Yeah. So
I just used the storage for ages. Yeah. When I say storage, it was in Wales originally, but it got brought down here, and it hasn't really been used for years. Just was storage. There was a kitchen, bedroom sort of thing, and just got to the point where nothing was being done with it. So we thought, let's try and do something with it, and we thought we'd turn it into a sort of recording studio / practice room.
Yeah.
So we got together and bought a load of wood and various other DIY materials, lacking all DIY knowledge. And but to be fair, it's really good for a massive botch job. I mean, if you strip back the walls and look what's behind them, it would be absolutely disgusting.
But nobody sees that, so no, it doesn't matter.
Aesthetically pleasing, but no, very pleased with it.
I think it's great. Did it take you very long?
Yeah, about 6 months.
Did you really?
Yeah, it's a long time. But that wasn't like full on, you know, doing it. It was like every weekend, and then dropped down to like every other weekend, and then there was sort of like more of a influx of time spent on it towards the end.
Yeah. Well, it's very awesome.
Thank you very much.
And I'm actually honoured to be in here now. Now, you see the photos, I'm actually honoured. So, where did the name Brixton Alley come from, boys?
Song called Simple Sally, which is on Spotify.
Yeah.
And it's about a prostitute. And she stands down Brixton Alley, waiting for... Oh no, a guy stands down Brixton Alley waiting for her, isn't it?
Yeah.
Didn't write it.
So basically, the guy has fallen in love. He's like a client, but he's fallen in love with Simple Sally.
He's a lady of the night.
He's a lady of the night. And he's standing out there in the rain, and she's not there. And he waits, and he gets cold, and his money gets wet. And she never appears. But that's where it came from. Although we had two names, didn't we? Well, two ideas. And we couldn't choose, so we just flipped a coin in a pub.
What was the other one?
The Hathaways, because we're from Stratford. And Hathaway was Shakespeare's
Milton
wife.
Milton Lindsay.
Because what happens is, everybody
goes,
we're
going to call
ourselves
Penny Five Fists, because we were watching that kid.
Oh, yeah, we were. And there was also Lunch Among the Cannibals.
Lunch Among the Cannibals,
that was a good one. So basically, we didn't have a name for ages, and we wrote the song, and then we were like, oh, that's cool, we'll use that. The only problem being now everyone assumes we're from London, which... I've never even been to Brixton. I don't think you've been past it on the train.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure you might have been there.
I've been.
Oh, he has been, of course. Globetrotter.
He's like Jay from The Inbetweeners.
Yeah. I was knee deep.
Stepped up the train. I was like,
do you boys watch This Country?
Yes.
I was watching it the first episode and I was like, I can't tell him. I'm scared I'll insult him.
All the time.
I love it. It's amazing.
You know, he's a model in real life.
Yeah, he's a fucking icon. It's amazing.
I'll take it.
You do quite a bit. Pressure.
I think you remind me more of Curtin than Charlie.
Curtin. You're more Curtin than Curtin. Where's your fear top?
So you guys have been doing this for some time, but recently you decided like to take the plunge and go a bit more all in, like really, really pushing it. So you guys, at the moment, you're what, releasing new music monthly? Is that right?
Yeah, track a month at the moment.
Yeah. So how hard was it to make that decision to kind of like go all in? Because obviously you all had jobs. Now you've either working part-time or you've quit your jobs. Like, how hard was that for you guys to do?
I think in terms of a decision of wanting to do it, it was sort of already there. Obviously, we'd rather do this, you know, the majority of the time. Yeah. I think financially and everything else that comes with going down to working part-time was obviously what made the decision a little bit harder. But at the end of the day, obviously, it's what we want to do. And you've got to be able to put as much time into it as you possibly can. And also, you know, there's other people in our situation as well, so you're competing with people who are full-time, part-time even, sorry, and doing that. So, and it's just what we want to do, so we might as well give it a go and see how far we can get with it.
Well, that's good, though, because it takes a lot of balls to make that decision. Like, to actually say, I'm just going to give up my job or go to part-time.
Yeah, it was something we talked about for a while, and we just got to the point where, because we weren't living near each other either, so I was always living down in London, and there was always that disconnect. And then I think, like, we got so fed up. We played, we played a gig in Prowl, didn't we? In London. Played this show, and we'd basically gone down there, and, like, it was kind of typical, like, nothing had been, like, properly organised. We'd spent all day getting down there, and, like, stuff went wrong when we played the set and things, and, like, me and John went to take the instruments back, and just sat in my flat for, like, 45 minutes having a beer, and we were just like, do you know what? Fuck this. Like, what are we doing? We're either going to do it properly, or we're just not going to do it.
Yeah.
And so that was it, really. The following week, I walked into work and just told them I quit. That's just the boys. I was like, I think I just quit my job. And they were like, what? And then that was it, yeah. So then that process kick-started us, like, working part-time, and then now I've moved back up here, so... we've been able to get in the studio and release these songs and gig more around here and just be more proactive, and I think kind of feel a bit better about things. Like, it's difficult because, you know, it's not like if you want to get a job or if you want to change career, you can train and then you can go and apply and you can go and get it. With this, like, obviously you have to have the skills and the abilities to write good music and to perform.
Which we're still working on, by the way.
But like, there's no set way of, like, making it, do you know what I mean?
It's
not like you can have a 6-month business plan.
It's an industry with a lot of noise, isn't it? So how do you get noticed in an industry with so much noise?
Exactly. I think part of it is like,
Cage, maybe?
You just have to keep going. Right?
Yeah.
That lucky break will come. If you're doing all the right things, people will start to take notice of you, and you just have to keep going. And I think a lot of bands just get, like, so down and fed up about it and beat themselves up that they just kind of fall by the wayside and think, do you know what, life takes over eventually. You want to make some money and you want to live your life. But
That's just that thing as well, I think. We've played with so many really, really amazing artists, like, over the course of being together.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of the guys we've played with are, you could just imagine them being huge, and you listen to them on the radio and everything, they've just got everything that they need. But for one reason or another, whether it's financially or, you know, having kids or whatever it is other than being in a band or being a musician, they've just had to either completely give it up or do it at such a little rate.
It's a real shame.
And it is a real shame. And
it's really sad.
I think we're really fortunate in the sense that we're able to sort of survive and get by with, you know, obviously what we have job-wise, and also, you know, we've got some great people around us that support us and sort of push us on to make sure that we just don't let things get in the way of it, really.
Yeah, I think that's good that you guys have put yourself in that situation, because a lot of people are going to be in that situation, but they don't have the support around them, or people are going to be telling them they can't do it, or they need to have, like, a proper career or whatever it is. So what do you guys think has been the hardest thing since you guys have started? Like, since you formed as a band and you had your name, what's been the hardest thing?
I think it still happens now. I think it's hard to say to each other that something, like, an idea is bad. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, I think that happens.
Yeah, we struggle to be critical of each other big time.
I think also, like, getting motivation, because it's easy to, you know, quit work and go down 3 days, or, like, go part time at work, and then to then not see it as, like, oh, 4-day weekend, sweet. that's really hard because you don't have someone above you who's like, oh god, they're paying me, I've got to work hard for them, I've got to do this, you know. You don't have that, so you're just like, oh well, and then nothing is really, like, you can see it's really, like, kicking off and going, and it's like, it's just tough. I'd hate to get older and I'd be like, oh shit, I wish I gave that a go.
Yeah,
you know, what if?
Yeah,
I'd hate to have that. So for me, that's the like big reason. It's just like,
yeah. I agree in the sense that we try not to have too high an expectation, especially short term.
Yeah.
But in the back of your head, you're always thinking, "Oh, I wonder what the next thing's going to be, yeah, whether it's a better show somewhere or getting new fans, whatever it is." And I think to sort of give up working full time and sacrificing certain things to not see, you know, something huge happen in a short space of time, which isn't going to, and you sort of expect that, but it's still hard to really keep motivated and act like it's nothing.
Yeah.
When it's, you're giving so much into it.
Well, you sacrifice a lot, don't you, when you're just trying to get better and trying to make it.
I think it's the ups and downs as well. Like, we've had some, for us, like, good successes, especially in the last, like, year or so. Yeah. Since we, you know, when we actually look back and go, oh, well, actually, we achieved this, this, and this, and since we've, like, been putting more effort into it, it looks good and you feel like quite good about it. But then the day-to-day of like, right, well, we've not got a gig for 2 weeks, so what are we doing in the meantime? And like John was saying, like, that's staying motivated.
Yeah.
Or like you get to a point where you think, right, this is something good's really happened. That's, you're on a high from that. Then you think, what's next? And then maybe the thing that's next doesn't come for another 4, 5, 6 months.
Yeah,
so keeping yourself motivated and working towards it in that like period, it can be a bit tough.
Well, I think being your own boss, like, it's always going to be difficult, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to learn discipline while you haven't got jobs or whatever. Like you were saying, you haven't got someone above you telling you what to do, so you kind of have to discipline yourself. But at the same time, you can just sit and watch TV all day if you wanted to.
Yeah.
And it's just like finding that balance between how much you really want it, but also kind of looking after yourself and still enjoying your life.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I think that sometimes, I don't know, I think we forget that actually we're just three mates.
Yeah.
Like, we all want the band to work, and we all work really hard to get it to work. But sometimes it does become, like, work.
Yeah.
Like, especially recently, like, we've been coming in, we've not had that many shows to start this year off. We've had a lot of stuff going on. We've had loads of, like, radio plays with our songs and stuff, which have been great. We've not been playing that many live shows, just because the way it's been, they've been being booked for later in the year.
Yeah.
So coming in and just like playing through our own songs here, and then just like, okay, well, see you in a couple of days, boys. It's like, actually, what are we doing? Like, we don't have to be doing that every day. Let's just go and have some fun. Like, let's not talk about the band for a day and just go and have a laugh.
That's it. Things can become really serious, can't they? Yeah, well, it's good that things are serious because you want to progress. You've still got to like have that point in your life, or that time in your life, where you can just enjoy yourself.
Yeah, exactly. And it's
not healthy.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know what it's like? It's like making a relationship work with like a girlfriend or whatever, or a good friend. If you don't see each other and spend quality time together, and sometimes you have to put a bit of effort into doing that, then, you know, things can kind of fall apart, I suppose. But
absolutely. So what's the best thing about being in a band? Apart from getting to say, I'm in a band,
because
everyone wants to say that, I think. What's the best part about?
I don't know, it's good fun. Like, the feeling you get when you come off stage,
that's
amazing. And just like people coming up to you and saying, oh, that song, love it, really like spoke to me, things like that, for me personally, that's like a big big thing.
The guy that's in the crowd on his phone the whole time and then comes up to you after and was like, loved it. Like, oh, wow, didn't it?
Yeah. Like, some guy, he's like, back to you like this the whole time. And he's like, absolutely loved it. What's your name? By the way, follow your Facebook. Come to your next gig. You're like, yes!
Cheers, man.
Yeah, that is good. Coming off stage after you've played a good gig is really good.
Yeah.
Recording as well, I love. Going into a studio and...
Yeah.
And record, the whole process of going in with your tracks and your ideas and just working with someone and getting a finished product at the end
is
another thing I love about it.
That's something I was going to ask you about. Like, what is that process? Because I wouldn't even dream of writing a song, and if I did, it would be shit. So where do you even start?
I'm
with
you there, mate. I don't even write my own drums.
I think, like, things change a lot from writing a song to having a song and being like, sweet, we've got the song. And then by the time you go to record it, it's like, it might as well be a completely different song sometimes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think we tend to write a lot in sort of a short space of time. So we sort of knock songs together, not in a, you know, not that we don't put a lot of work into it or anything like that, but I think naturally, you know, we have a lot of songs.
Like creative.
Yeah.
periods.
Yeah.
Whereas,
yeah,
like, if we went to write a song like now, we're not necessarily in the right creative kind of mind at this moment, but we've just finished writing like 5 songs.
Yeah.
So
we can't force that, like, kind of thing.
Yeah.
We always tend to have a pot of about 5 or 6 songs and whittle it down to, I don't know, 2 or 3 that we'll record from that. And then, yeah, it's just a case of, you know, going into the studio and, you know, having a good idea of what we're doing individually. We've recently started recording in a live sort of setup, opposed to tracking separately, which was a new thing to us. But that's something that's, I think, really helped with the energy in the, you know, the recordings. I think it comes across more energetic when you listen to the songs. And just trying new things as well. We always try and do, you know, different things every time we go and record, whether it's different sounds, you know, setting things up a different way, and just willing to take on advice from, you know, who we're working with, who knows a bit more about what they're doing.
So at what point did you guys think that this is something that you could actually do? I mean, it was there a point where you just, like, you picked up an instrument and you started playing? Or was it something that you always wanted to learn? Or, because, like, for me personally, I have got no fucking rhythm at all. And it would take me years to be able to do anything musically, I think. Even like a triangle. But for you boys, obviously you're incredibly talented, but was that just one day you woke up and you were like, I'm actually playing guitar today, and you started to learn? Or is it something you kind of just fell into and you knew that you could be good at it? Or
I started playing guitar when I was 9. Alex used to be in a band.
Yeah.
And the guy who played guitar for him was really, really good. Oh, yeah, used to always get really jealous. Not jealous, but just be like, oh my God, I want to learn that. And then like, my birthday was coming up, so I was like, oh, can I have a guitar? Because when I was younger, I used to start everything, and then like 2 weeks later, I quit it. So mum and dad were like, fine, I'll get him a guitar, thinking that they'll just take it back in a couple of weeks, it'll be fine. And I was listening to, at the time, on the way to primary school, I was listening to Sum 41, Does It Look Infected Yet?
Nice, yes.
The album? Yeah, listening to it like religiously. And like, I can't wait to get a guitar, and I'm going to learn this, on my old Walkman. And it was great. And I got a guitar, and then started playing it, and then just kind of taught myself from books. Mm. But mum and dad wouldn't get me lessons, because they just thought I'd quit, and it's the only thing that I've kept on. So
that's awesome.
It's the only thing that they, like, yeah. They were just like, you're just going to quit it, so
it's no point.
And then I was like, no.
So what about you boys?
It's quite funny, actually. And the thing they encouraged Ben to do, he's quit. The one thing they told him he'd give up, he's actually done.
Yeah. Stick it to him.
Yeah. Sorry, Jam.
Yeah, so what I played when I was at school. So when I went to secondary school, everybody had to learn an instrument. And I really wanted to play the drums in year 7. And mum and dad wouldn't let me. And I was like, please, can I play the drums? And they were like, if you play the clarinet for a year, then you can play the drums next year. So I was like, fine.
That's amazing.
Can you still play clarinet? Do you reckon?
I can still play clarinet, yeah. Like a wood.
You can still play what? You
have it. I could still play like woodwind instruments, but so I had to play the clarinet. I remember we did this like school performance, and I was there, it was like, it was rubbish.
You should have a woodwind album.
Yeah.
It'd be great.
Woodwind clarinet solos in the set. So then the year after that, I was allowed to play the drums. And then weirdly, I used to play with some mates at school, playing a band and stuff, and then that just kind of stopped, and then I stopped playing the drums at like probably when I was like 15, so I probably only played for like 3 or 4 years. And then I didn't play again until we got together. I'd literally pick up a pair of sticks.
When you were 30.
What was I? How old was I? 25? Something like that, maybe? So I didn't pick up a pair of sticks for like 10 years.
That is crazy, actually.
Then we got, you boys wrote some songs, didn't you? We got a gig booked, and I had like 5 weeks. Mm. To kind of learn these songs and really teach myself the drum and play the show. So
that's it.
Yeah, it's good.
Johnny?
I'm pretty similar to Ben, really. Started when I was 8 or 9. Had a little classic guitar. I'd had lessons. Dave and Janet Wells let me have lessons.
I was quite good. I did all right. So no, but yeah, I wanted to play the guitar, so I said I wanted to get a guitar. Got a guitar. Had lessons. Played in like school and stuff. Lessons in school. Then had lessons outside of school. And it just sort of, yeah, went from there. And still playing to this day.
So is it something that, like, I always tell my wife that the one thing I hate her for is the fact that she's good at everything. And I hate that. Like, if I take something up, it will take me, like, 10 years to get good at it. With Kate, it's, like, 10 minutes and she's great. And I hate it. So for you boys, was it difficult learning an instrument? Or did you just kind of take to it and you were okay?
Let's put it this way, there's three of us and I'm the second best drummer in the band.
Nearly third, mate. I'm not that.
I found it really hard learning the guitar.
Really?
Yeah, like really frustratingly hard.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Why is it too easy?
Yeah.
It's just so good.
But then
I think it's like you're saying, if you try to learn now, I think when I try and learn things now, I find it a lot harder than I did when I was younger.
Yeah.
I think it's just a lot easier to pick things up. Or just have like the motivation, you know, you didn't have things, you know, consuming your time so much.
No.
So, but I remember, yeah, FIFA. I just play it all the time. Like as a kid, I'd have a guitar and I'd just play it all the time. And I wouldn't be very good for a while, but I'd still just be like relentlessly trying the same like little thing
that's
over and over again.
My life. And my entire life. I'm not very good, but I'll still do it.
Yeah. Well, no, yeah, exactly. And that's exactly what it was like.
But I don't remember anything else that I would, you know, do instead. I'd rather do. Mm. Like, TV was rubbish.
You used to play guitar all the time. You still do, though.
And you
just
had,
go
like,
and sit
four
at home.
Channels, five channels, didn't you, back in the day?
Back in the day.
It's like, I'm not watching Neighbours again.
Showing our age.
Was it The Simpsons followed by The Fresh Prince? Or
oh,
was it the other way around?
Yeah, Simpsons, Fresh Prince.
Simpsons was on 6 o'clock, wasn't it?
Simpsons, Fresh Prince.
Channel 4, yeah.
So
yeah,
good.
Teaching like a great hour.
Sunday, after Sunday lunch, run into the playroom, watch WWE.
Yeah.
WWF.
That was quality.
before the charity took it over.
But you used to play.
Still waiting for a panda to RKO someone. Still waiting for a panda Royal Rumble.
Yeah, but you still play now, though, don't you? Like,
instead
of watching TV, you'll just go and sit.
Yeah, sometimes.
And play guitar.
See, I'm kind of similar. Like, obviously not play guitar, because, like I said, I've got no rhythm. But for basketball, like, I'll just sit and watch basketball videos.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I can just study. It's not even like I'm watching them for entertainment. I'm watching to study them.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm that sad. Like, that's my life, and that I want to study people all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
that's how you learn, isn't it? By looking at, like, you know, your idols or whatever, or players or, you know, musicians or whoever that you like, and then trying to emulate them. Then I think you develop your own style from it, don't you?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
But how else do you learn if you don't learn from someone
better? Exactly.
That's true, yeah. You've got to have some kind of inspiration, haven't you?
Do you see that LeBron no-look pass?
Oh my God!
It's just next level. And the week before, where he, like, passed the ball behind himself.
It went
through
his
teammate's legs.
Complete fluke, but it was incredible.
It was
absolutely incredible.
I can tell you it wasn't fluke.
Did you see the stand down he did this
last night? Night before?
Yeah.
We watched that game last night. I like screamed at the TV and then rewound it and screamed again.
Yeah.
And then just kept doing that for about 10 minutes.
We went to the trampoline park yesterday and they had trampolines under basketball hoops.
Oh, mate.
And like,
what a life.
All right, I think it was like, it was higher than, a bit higher.
Me.
It was like,
it was
20
like,
foot.
Yeah, it was so high.
But how high is the basketball?
10 feet.
10 feet.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he, like,
this was an easy, like, 13, 14 foot.
I had to reach 10 foot.
But with a trampoline,
wouldn't I?
Not quite, I know. So you probably get the net, which is what, like 9-ish?
Oh, you're like 6 foot four. How you haven't got a 4 foot long arm.
You're right.
That'd be great.
My third leg is that.
You've probably got a 3 foot arm, I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah, because isn't that the your
wind height? It's supposed to be. Yeah.
The same height.
It's supposed to be.
Mental.
It can't be. Because I've got little T-Rex arms.
Long.
Oh wait.
See, I've just got like monkey arms.
Mine are so short.
Like 6'1", my wingspan's like 6'8".
Is that true?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
But
yeah,
is that why you're well
good at
basketball?
Can you touch each side of the caravan?
I wish, that would be so sick. When I went out to the combine in Canada, they were like, your arms are incredibly large. Like, I am fully aware of that, thanks to them.
Hang down past your knees.
Almost.
Can you tie your shoes without bending over?
No.
We'd literally
that
straight back.
Imagine that.
Straight back.
Your knuckles
so
are just
good.
All cut because they're just scraping on the floor when you walk.
It's basically that.
It's like Mr. Tickle.
hope that answers your question.
It absolutely does. I love that. Okay, so I'm going to... you guys are playing Sharks at the end of this.
Yeah.
Which is exciting. Yeah. Very, very awesome song. Do you want to talk to us about it? Do you want to tell us like, the meaning behind it, where it came from, and anything else you feel is relevant about it?
Yeah.
It's like, it's one of the only songs that I've written that's like about, or that we've written, that's like about not getting pissed in girls.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, actually has meaning. It's yeah, like, yeah. It's basically about like depression and things.
Yeah.
And like having like, if I feel like shit,
mm-hmm.
then like I'll listen to a lot of music. And for example, like Bringing Horizon, really good, Car Seat Headrest. Like they have lyrics in there that speak out to me, and I'm like, ah, it's fine. You know, someone else feels it too. And that's what, like, I just wanted people to listen to it and be like, you know, kind of feel like, ah, oh, there's, you know, relate to it.
But I think people go to songs level. For that, don't they? Yeah, like, yeah. So many people will listen to music because it expresses what they can't say.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. I think people, I think a lot of people, I think probably most people do. And I think they, a lot of people do it subconsciously, without really realising. If you're having a, like a tough time, or if you're having a good time, quite often there'll be songs that will like, you know, get you through that. You might just listen to it on repeat, or you hear a song on the radio and it reminds you of when you were, I don't know, on a great holiday with your mates or whatever, and stuff like that.
It's just got like a memory tied to them.
Yeah,
in fact, I think most songs, like you can hear a song like 10 years later, you're like, oh, I remember that. I remember that exact moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like it was so I wrote the chorus and second verse and we wrote that and then me and Johnny we were just messing around in the kitchen at home and then we just like worked out like a it was completely different and then we changed it and then the verse the guitar bit, Johnny wrote the like the riff and then I wrote the bass line. And then and then we like then changed that into the song. So then I was then over at our sisters with Johnny and I was just about to go home and we were like thinking of things that you do. He's like, oh, I'm going to do a rap for the verse, like talk to me about what it's about. And then I like just opened up to him and said, you know, how it feels like for me in personal experience, like depression and stuff and how it like gets you and like how shit you feel and stuff like that.
It's a bastard.
Yes. Fucking shit. And then so like literally drove home, which is like an hour, and like looked on my phone and I had a message from Johnny and he had written this verse and the way that he had just like it was mental. Mm. Like he'd just written exactly what I said but better and then put it into a rap and it was just like fuck. Mind blown. It was just like nuts. It was like so it was just like perfect how I, like everything I said he'd like didn't even think he was listening.
You know, it was potluck.
I'm pretty sure Con Air was on in the background. I didn't see what it was.
Johnny was like guy at the gig with his phone up.
Yeah,
loved it, mate.
it was impressive. It's good, well done, John.
Thanks. That's it's a good song. It's different to what we
normally do.
Have written. I think that's and everything sort of since that has been. I sort of followed suit. That may have been a bit of a turning point for our sort of style, I think. Mm. I don't think it's necessarily affected the genre that we're in, but I just think the
riffs and
the riffs that we use and like the weight of our songs seems more prominent now. But
and the rapping is a feature, I think. Well, we had a rap in Secrets, didn't we? Which is
a
little while ago.
A few raps though. Like My Money had raps. Had a bit of rap and Drama Queens.
Yeah, it's always been kind of there, but definitely
it's never sort of been. Okay. In this, it's really like verse one and verse two is just blah blah.
Yeah,
and it's pretty consistent all the way through.
Like what? Sorry.
We just keep rewinding that clip over and over.
I'm so glad you said that.
First one and first two are quite
please do
again. So it's a bit that but no it's But yeah, I remember the day we wrote that as well, quite vividly. And I remember Ben coming over and
you're right. Well,
talk about yourself.
Oh, no, it's a good song. Should play it?
No, and you know, I guess, well, you wrote it because obviously you wanted to write a song about, you know, what you go through and stuff, and you wanted people to relate to it. And we have had people, you know, come to us and say, you know, and people that we don't really know, not like, you know, friends and stuff like that, people who have come and gone, you know, this is exactly how I feel. This song's amazing, isn't it? You know, and it seems that, well, it's just nice that they've got something to relate to, and you know, life can
you're
be shit.
Not alone. You're never alone. Special. You're never alone.
Maybe different kinds of special, but yeah.
No, everyone's special.
I think it's awesome. Like, it must be a really cool feeling to know that you've made this song and people can listen to it and be like, holy shit, yeah, I feel like that.
Yeah.
But you don't know how many people like have heard that without you knowing and they haven't said anything to you. Which is crazy. It's like with videos and stuff, people always say to me, I might get someone come 6 months down the line after I made a video and be like, oh, I saw that and it was really helpful. I'm like,
that's so cool though.
Wow. Yeah. That's insane. But you guys are going to have exactly the same impact with that song and future songs.
Yeah.
Which is very cool. So before we play that, or before you guys play that, before we play that, like, I'm going to play it.
You are, mate. You're on the drums. Trust me, it's easy.
You've got a banjo in the house.
We had this conversation before you came. That you were going to be replaced.
Well, because I was late.
Yeah, so you've got 5 minutes.
You've got 5 minutes. Well, like 2 minutes later, you rock up. Yeah. I was gutted. But it's okay.
We're all gutted.
No joking. One more than me.
So I want to... I want to run like a quick fire type question series.
Quick maths.
Thing at you. Quick maths. Yes. Yes. So I'm going to do it like... I'll ask all of you the question and then I'll just like single you out and pick you out. It's nothing bad. Okay. The only one that might have to worry is Ben a little bit because I want to hear a really embarrassing story.
How fast do we
have?
Oh,
no, I don't have
no, you don't have
story.
To, just like whatever comes to your head first. It doesn't have to be like instant. All right? You've got to have something. I'm expecting you to. So.
I don't know any that aren't like.
We'll get there. All of you. Old school rap or old school rock?
Rap.
Yeah.
Rock.
Rap.
Okay, Alex, Trump or Theresa May?
Oh, mate!
Oh, don't burn!
Thank you. Can't wait for an embarrassing story, no.
Look, I mean, Theresa May.
And if you had to say something to Theresa May, anything at all, what would it be?
Where's the money for Grenfell?
All of you, donuts or cookies?
Cookies.
Did someone say co-nuts then? Just my hearing.
Go-nuts.
Johnny, what's one thing you'd like to do before you die?
Skydive.
Really?
Mm.
Ooh, mate, I could never.
Like, do you want to try to speed it up?
Well, still be before I die.
One thing, not the last thing.
Yeah. All of you, if you could be anywhere apart from here right now, where would it be?
Over there.
Oh, good question.
I'm going to be offended if you say anything apart from here, but carry
on. Oh, no, I'd rather be on holiday.
In the sun.
Thanks.
Somewhere in the sun.
Oh, no, somewhere...
What, Bora Bora, Ben? You always want to go there.
I have always wanted to go to Bora Bora. I'd like to be... Nah, I can't be asked. I'd like to go to... Canada's too cold.
Mate, Canada's great. You should go.
I know, I really want to go.
Because you go in the summer, it's not cold.
Yeah, I know, but it's too cold at the moment.
Is that right crazy now, ski lift?
No. No, I didn't see that.
I'm not sure if it's in Canada, but because you're talking about being cold, it's just quick. But like, it just went absolutely nuts. It wouldn't stop, and all the chairs were coming backwards, like rapid around the bottom of the like where people get on. Yeah. But it was just smashing like chair into chair. People getting thrown like
not
10. People getting thrown like 10 feet in the air, like launched off this thing. It looked absolutely brutal, and they couldn't stop it. Eventually, it stopped itself because it just like completely broke. But it's nuts.
It's mad.
That's crazy.
We didn't really actually question it, did we, Pete? Spain.
No, Spain.
McDonald's.
I think that's my favourite answer. Ben, I'm expecting something we can all marvel at here. Like something really fucking strange. What's the weirdest thing you've ever done?
The weirdest thing I've ever done?
I feel like out of the three of you,
you're probably going to better than me.
The question's open to everyone then.
Quite a lot of weird
shit. Still, the weirdest thing Ben's ever done?
Yeah. Or all of you. If you've got something stupid that's really embarrassing, that'd be great.
Weird,
the most is like, there's so many. The most.
quite an odd person, so it's kind of, it's like filtering through what everyone else is weird is. It's just like a normal day.
What's it, what was the story behind that? Can you get that photo up? Just the mental face. What have you got in your mouth?
Grapes.
Yeah. Oh, it's a grapes.
Oh, that was just a dinner table.
Oh, right.
That was just like, I think it was Sunday night.
Oh, mate.
That's the weirdest face I've ever seen.
You can cut this bit out at the end. But you know that picture where I put the many faces of Ben Wells?
Yeah.
And the one with him where he's like doing the weird face on the side. Just say, what's the weirdest thing you've ever done, Ben? And then just show that face.
Yeah. Let's go with that. Yeah. So, okay, so Ben, what's the weirdest thing you've ever done?
Do the face. Do the face.
How many grapes?
Oh, sorry, that was not very good answer.
No, there wasn't. There's so many weird things.
Go on. You've got some, surely.
I think
they're all probably incriminating.
Yeah.
That's fine. We'll just use a fake name if it's someone else.
Oh, yeah. Johnny.
This one time, Johnny did this.
Oh, God. I can't even think, mate.
Okay, so last one. That's fine. All of you. There might be some suspicious answers. But what's the weirdest thing you've ever eaten?
Oh, I don't know. I'm eating crocodile tail.
What does that taste like?
Like nice chicken. Battered it is, and you squeeze lemon on it.
I don't think I've eaten anything... Any strange... I think rabbit's like the most crazy thing I've eaten.
They're very boring, actually. When it comes to weird...
Well, honestly, I honestly
haven't... Is it expected to have something?
I really haven't eaten that many...
pig's cheek.
Pig's cheek?
Yeah. Well, like, holding the head of the pig and just ate the cheek.
Just holding it and bit it.
Prawn brains.
A bit of the cheek, yeah. My teeth touched his teeth. It wasn't very nice.
Prawn brains.
So you were essentially making out with the pig?
I was absolutely wasted, mate. It was a work party as well.
Was the pig still alive?
Hog roast.
Was the pig even a pig?
We had a hog
roast. Yeah, was it just Susan from a back office?
We'd had a hog...
Susan from HR.
The cleaner.
Come here! Too late, Nick.
Come here.
I need to work on Monday.
Two sugars.
Bandages.
Two sugars.
I need to hear more about this. Come on.
We'd had a hog roast at this party. It was on this like, island off the coast of Essex. Or like in the estuary. Off the coast of Essex. In the estuary. And basically, like, it was like all day drinking. And at about 3 o'clock in the morning, one of the guys I worked with came outside and found me with a bottle of red wine in one hand and a pig's head in the other. And I was just eating the pig's face.
Nice.
I think you probably should have asked Alex the question.
Yeah, I should.
It was pretty fucked.
That's great.
Yeah, that's good.
I like that a lot. Have you got a picture of that?
No, thank God there's no picture of it. Man. I had one hell of a hangover the next day.
I bet you did.
And bacon breath for about a week.
That's what you get for making out with a pig, mate. Right. Especially a cooked pig.
It was pretty great.
That's great.
At least it was cooked, and you didn't just decapitate a pig and were eating a raw pig's head.
That's very true. I went full island. I went Lord of the Flies. I went native.
I'm trying to think of something funny Ben did in Barcelona. I can't really think of any.
Do you remember that time we had to go to hospital for a fart?
Oh yeah, that was brilliant. That might be worthy of a mention.
That's pretty epic. One of my favourite, we were talking about this at work, about you the other day. It wasn't weird, but on the stag do, when you were just walking along and just vomiting out the side of your, like, so casually walking along, and just like, and just carried on walking.
I threw up on the National Museum of Slovakia. I threw up on that. That's quite an
go on. Why?
I was just walking down the street and I threw up and that was...
Were you drunk or were you just... Yeah, okay.
That was really piss on the tube, didn't you?
Oh yeah, having a piss on the tube. Yeah, I don't know.
You've lived.
Well, if you haven't had your earpiece, you know what they say.
You've got those life experiences.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can teach that to your kids one day.
Yeah, this is how you throw up when you've drunk too much. Just make sure you do it on a national building.
Come on then, have you got anything for you?
For me?
Yeah, we've had Alex and Ben now. We've had the pig story, which was a great story. You've had Ben's many wonders.
Like, Johnny, like, throwing up is a real...
I just don't know how you did
he's
that.
He's amazing.
His shirt was completely white.
Yeah.
After it, that was quite a lot.
But it was so... Everyone was talking away, just vomits, and then joins in the conversation.
The
it was so casual.
Every time we go out, he's like, oh, I feel sick. Just goes around, be sick, comes back.
We literally talk about that at least, like, once every couple of weeks.
It's going to have to be a pie trick, perhaps.
It's really good. Yeah, really good.
It really should be.
You've done it in so many smoking areas.
While smiling.
You've just been like, stand there. And I've been like, and just go,
and then just like, just keep smoking. Go back inside, get another drink. Now to rebuild what I just got rid of.
And normal people would be like, oh, I feel rough. You're just like, no, great, fine.
I think you feel okay after you've been sick, don't you? That's like your...
Sometimes, yeah. I don't know, man. I'm really properly sick.
I wish I could be that elegant at anything, let alone being sick.
He wasn't very elegant at foot golf before, though, was he?
He really was not.
Oh, come on. That was unlucky.
When he got stuck in the train. What,
conditions. The wind conditions were treacherous that day. And I got taken out by the rough. Well, absolutely bamboozled.
What a day.
It was a great day, though.
It was a good day. That
was a great day.
It was so funny.
It was good fun. Okay, so... we could get really carried away after.
Yeah.
So to wrap this up, I asked the same of every single guest. Most of them have been like powerlifters or basketball players or whatever. But
what do we bench?
Go on.
I couldn't bench
2 kilograms potentially.
No, I've seen you bench 35.
35, really?
Yeah.
Is that a lot? I don't know.
What do you do? Like 150?
No, not close. So 90 kilos maybe.
80.
90 or something.
160.
I could probably bench a t-shirt from the brand Bench.
Bench Curtains jacket.
Bench Curtains jacket. I don't know, I haven't been to the gym in so long.
Well, last time you just benched all of it, didn't you?
The whole gym! You just ripped it out.
Yeah,
I haven't been so long because I took it with me last time I went. So
I'd probably say
close it down, shut it down, flooded it.
Yeah, I'm pretty strong.
Man,
I ripped my top, that's all. Becky's going to be fuming. Two of them, though.
Dead. So, oh my god. I'm sorry. What? So, individually, what is your definition of strength? Like, pretend I'm an alien. And define strength to me.
Pretend I'm an alien and you've got to fight me. with your definition of strength.
Exactly, yes.
That's a really good question.
I think for me it is the ability that people have when they have the shittest times to then just like look through it,
mm-hmm.
and like be normal and like whatever normal is, but like be you know, like It's more of an emotion thing,
yeah.
With for me, than it is like a muscle thing because
I'm not very muscular because muscle for you is check
because I'm already as big as I could be. So
I think a lot of people have said the same thing.
Yeah,
I think it's more emotional for them.
Yeah, being sort of at your lowest point and still being able to see a light at the end of the tunnel, as it were.
Yeah.
And be able to pick yourself back up again and just keep trying.
I like it a lot. Grandpa?
That was good. Is that because the light just caught the grey in my beard?
It's a very aesthetic grey.
Alex just genuinely wants to tell you how much he can bench.
I don't.
Numbers don't probably go high enough.
I don't want to tell Pete.
Not a lot.
How much can you bench?
Not enough.
You can probably bench my tennis car outside.
Yeah.
Could you bench me?
Yeah.
Really?
Wait, how much do you weigh?
I don't know, like 10 stone.
What? Yeah. You only weigh 10 stone?
11 maybe.
I'm 12 and a half, can you bench me?
Yeah.
So that's 75 kilos?
Yeah.
Can you bench Alex? He's like
60. Yeah, I weigh about the same as you, 75 kilos, not very much.
Do you?
Yeah. Can you bench me and Ben? 150 kilos?
Not quite.
Fuck off!
Not about like 12-ish kilo short. It's about 137 is my max.
Fuck off.
Also, I've thought about it and I'm not 10 stone, that's ridiculous.
What grown man would be 10 stone, honestly? Come on.
I think I'm 12.
12 stone.
I'd say 12. You're quite muscly though.
I'm not.
You're like toned underneath your top.
How do you know?
Ready for summer.
Because it's...
He's been...
Go on.
Because your skin's my favourite outfit you wear. Not my skin. Did I say my skin or your skin? Not my skin, you wear my skin. I'm going to wear your skin. You're going to wear you like a tracksuit, Johnny.
So can you imagine if I wore your skin? There'd be like a foot of extra foot just hanging up.
I like really long
that
socks.
It'd be so saggy.
When your socks get noses, they're like long. That'd be me.
Can skin.
Oh,
clear
wow.
Skin.
Oh, I think we can finish this up now. This has been fantastic, and I've loved every single second of it. So, boys, thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for being on.
For anybody interested, or for anybody who is interested in hearing more from the boys, and you definitely should be, I will put everything I can down in the description of the YouTube video, of the podcast, everything.
Click down there.
So go and have a look, go and check them out. Follow everything they do because they're amazing, and they're all, look at them. They're beautiful. Look at them all. Alex, the least so, but everyone's beautiful.
Alex, the best looking one.
Yeah, you
he's
are
the
really
best
good
looking.
Fine. It's so good.
I know.
They're also aesthetic.
Alex, Johnny, me. Alex, Johnny, Pete, me. Now you're in it.
Well, I'm not number one.
Nick,
the
number
lamb,
one.
The fucking lamb. That beats me. Oh, lammy. Look at the horns. There you go.
They are.
I like it. So, boys, you are going to play us out now with Sharks.
Yeah.
The acoustic version. Mm-hmm. Very excited. Mm. So, guys, do you want to take it away?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
My eyes.